The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies and geographic locations and industries. You know, so one week it's a retailer from Singapore talking about how they grew through, franchising, and the next week it's a manufacturer in Kansas City talking about acquisitions. And this is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program so that the guests, the hosts, and the listeners are all presidents and CEOs of mid-sized companies. Most of you are between that $20 and $200 million mark, and many of you have $1 billion in mind. So, you know, we don't dumb it down and we don't give a definition of what's an acquisition. We try to be like what a breakout session would be if you went to an Inc. 500 conference. In fact, most of the guests are on the Inc. 500 or at least the Inc. 5000. So it's at your level. So I'm opening it up that way to invite you to call in with questions, suggestions of guests, topics that you would like us to have, you know, upcoming. About every quarter I ask for that. Here we are in September of 2009 already, believe it or not, and it's time for us to go out for another wave of what are you worried about, what are you thinking about, what do you think is important. It's Aldana at Ambler.com, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. At AMBLER or 1-888-ALDANA. So if you know my name, you can get me. I own too many companies and I had too many phone numbers, so that's the number you get if you're dealing directly with me. So this week, what I wanted to do is, in fact, there's three shows at the beginning of this year. Beginning of this year, beginning of the school year. Even if you don't have kids, have you noticed September has this behavior of it's a renewal, it's new, let's get going, let's wait, you know, no more waiting. And it's not just waiting for your kids to come back from camp or something like that. I think that a lot of the entrepreneurs that have been tolerating, waiting for vacations and waiting for the government or waiting for something, I don't know what they're waiting for, Godot, I think that most of the people I deal with, they're not going to wait anymore. You watch what's going to happen this next month and in October and November. So I'm doing three shows on energy, about purpose, about mission, about passion. Because if the last 12 months have kicked the passion out of you and your business, which, you know, there are a lot of reasons it would have, how do you get it back? Because I'd like you to get mad about stuff, get excited about some stuff, do something with some energy, because there are an awful lot of people that are very talented. They're so tired of being behind a president or a CEO of a business that's waiting. Waiting for what? And they're like caged cats. And all they're looking for is someone who's going to take a move, take a chance, do something. So you can even be risking making a mistake, and you'll do better than waiting it out and worrying or trying to go for perfection. So that we're doing three shows from the I'm going to get the dates wrong, September 1, September 8, September at 7:15. All three of them are about, you know, driving something that's kind of complicated for having a passion for it. All right, so what would today be about? I'm going to introduce a guy in a few minutes who has lived an interesting journey. I'm going to paraphrase in one version. Well, listen to this. One way to look at the situation. You're going to college. And you're okay. You're studying business. You're in a reasonable place. You're a smart guy. Life's going to be pretty good, but you don't quite know where it's going to lead. And then your dad calls you back from college and says, you know, the family business isn't what it was. I need you and your brother to come back and save it, or it's not going to do too well. If you had a lousy attitude, you'd resent it. Maybe you'd come home out of obligation, and maybe you'd go to another state, you know, to take care of the business, and you'd do what you could, and you'd go through the motions. That's what most people would do. Yeah, but you know what? If you have a little bit of passion and you have a little bit of vision and you're bright, you don't blow that opportunity. You look at it and you say, maybe there's something about this business that in the second generation could be done a slightly different way. Now, that's not so easy. And I'm not talking about just family business dynamics, but, you know, you got an existing person who's running it at the same time you're trying to improve it. And on top of that, what if you're an industry where it's all the customers are kind of conservative, it's an established industry, they're not really into technology, and every time you bring up something, you know, they're naysayers, and they go, why are you doing that? And they bitch and moan and complain. I don't want to over-typecast it, but in some mature industries, that's not so easy to have them go with change. That's one way to look at a situation, and I can give you 4 and 5 and 6 descriptions. I have another one I could give you that's a family business where the guy got handed this niche business where they got 75% of the marketplace. One person would look at it and say, how am I going to grow this thing? We're already at 75%. Where else are we going to go? This is such a focus kind of a thing. What am I going to do with this? And you guys are so conservative and you don't have enough money and everybody's focused on this and that's all they want to talk about. If we try to diversify it, all you're going to do is complain. Feel the energy of the normal way to interpret those two situations. Or you can do what my guest today has been doing and you liven it up. And the theme of today is, how do you take your customers with you on your own improvement journey? So as you're improving the company, as you're looking for efficiencies, it's not enough to provide good quality product. It's not enough to be, you know, a sole source. It's not enough because, you know what, anybody looking at just the cost of something, they're going to offshore this thing and it's going to be out of your hands before you know it. How would you get enough energy to bring your customers along? All right, so before we interview this guy, because he obviously has a very different attitude than most of the people who aren't going to make it out there. By the way, this guy grew it into $45 million. The last 9 years, they've had growth, positive growth and positive cash flow. Not too shabby, huh? The one position company, a location company now has 7 around the globe. You know, of course, he's on the Inc. 500. That's pretty cool. Now, he's probably looking at, you know, now what? That would be normal, but that's one heck of a journey. Now, before we even interview him, I'm going to give you some pointers about this. If your passion is around, you know what, I have to help my customers advance, one of the things that happens is to actually understand where the customers are coming from, but not commiserate with them. In other words, if you lower yourself to whining and complaining and acting like, you know, the world stinks and it's a victim mentality, you get discredited, you're not going to look like somebody they want to follow. You're just one of the kids, one of the boys, and especially if you're from a family business, you can look like you're just the kid. Ah, shut up. But if you take the tact of you are learning about technology or you are learning new techniques and you're demonstrating how they worked and you just start talking to people about, you know, where's their pain? Where is the issue? What are they really having difficulty with? It's not necessarily technology. They won't necessarily know that's an answer. But if their pain is things like delivery dates, if their pain is the cost of some of the materials, if their pain is competition, if your language is about, wait a minute, you know, there's got to be a way that what I'm doing is going to pay off for you to beat out your competition, or maybe there's something I'm doing that could help you with reducing costs, or maybe there's something I'm looking at. You know, look, I'll have it in mind and come back to you, I'll tell you. That approach is credible. And it shows real superior customer service. And even the most conservative and the negative can understand, well, maybe this is okay. And then it's less threatening. It's not like, you know, what's really cool about it is it's not an outsider of the industry coming in, you know, with some expensive stuff, big new vendor, pushing you into some new technology or an expensive change in your business, traumatizes the conservative folks and they run from it. Maybe you can be the one through your attitude of respecting the conservative, long-term, established business people about what they're up against, and you have credibility. Second suggestion I could give you is that when you are improving yourself, you show a humility. Instead of acting all arrogant, like you know it's everything that you're doing, you've never made a mistake, you know, everything that you do is wonderful and they're dumb, no. If you're talking about it as, you know, we're dealing with the business, we've got to find a way to do this, you're driven to figure out the answers, and it doesn't look easy, you look bright, you look inquisitive, and you look credible. Getting arrogant and acting all, you know, just do what I do, that's not appealing to the conservative, well-established business owners. So So can you hear it? Number one is really understand and show compassion for what your customers are dealing with. Number two, look at a learning attitude on yourself so that you're taking them with you and it doesn't look so easy so that they can appreciate it. There's studies about if a solution to something looks too easy, it's not appreciated. So demonstrating that it's hard and you had to try a few things and go back and forth and problem solve it actually is a transparent process that builds some partnerships. The third thing I'd suggest to you is it's all around a value proposition. So if you're advancing your customers' technology or their human resources, their approach to doing business, and you bring them along, be flexible about how. Because sometimes you're going to be impacting their HR department, and that's a little scary. You know, your business might be producing a tangible product, and the next minute you're talking about personnel. One of my clients is a regional electrical wholesaler. And during one of the recessions, they started a buying club, I think that's what they call it, for gasoline and fuel oil for their customers. They bought it at a reasonable price because they could do it in large quantities. It became a buying cooperative. That was a pretty bright thing to do. It wasn't just about the light bulbs. They showed that they were there to be helpful to the customers. Another one back in the 90s, early on in the process of working with electrical contractors. The electrical contractors were scared to death of computers. They were going to be left in the dirt if they didn't come forward. This other client up in New England, what they did is they bought a whole series of PCs, loaded them with software, EDI software, so people could, you know, just purchase their top items from guess who, you know, the wholesaler. And they just passed that learning curve by just delivering the computers to the contractors. You don't think those guys talked about that electrical wholesaler for years for having helped them jump past the barrier that they felt related to computers and software? They got them some training. They did an awful lot of business with those contractors that they brought into the 21st century. Follow it? Okay, so you got a couple of pointers. What I'd like to do now, and I've already, you know, telegraphed a lot of what Randy Carr's journey's been, he's the guy brought into the family business who's brought it up to $45 million, had a different attitude about technology. Guess what their business is? Randy, you there?
Yes, I am.
Did you recognize yourself as I talk about you?
It's hard. It's a humbling phone call.
Well, that's good. See, that's kind of the point. He is the CEO of World Emblem International, and somebody else from the outside who doesn't know any better looks at it and says they do embroidered emblems. They are the largest supplier for industrial uniforms. It's so boring. Oh, no, it's not. That's the whole point. So, Randy, when I describe you like this, why does it humble you?
Well, I'm just not used to hearing it. I mean, mostly what we do is not obvious to most people that would look at an emblem on a TSA person or a FedEx delivery person or a UPS delivery man. But I mean, our company makes emblems for pretty much all those industries.
You know, and that's like the third lesson that I wanted to have everybody hear before we took a break. Did you hear how Randy sounds? So one of the key things that you need to do if you are in an industry and you have to take a new approach, remember that on a day-to-day basis, you are not going to get attaboy. You are not going to get, oh, you're so brilliant. You are not going to get, this is so exciting, unless you find a way to do it. Okay, we're going to take a break. On that note, think about yourselves. Does your business look flat? And is it because you can't find the sizzle? It's like, where's the beef? Remember that? Okay, this is the Growth Strategist, Adele Don Amber. We'll be right back to look for Where's the Beef.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
McGruff the Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Here's the address for my new free comic activity book.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It shows kids what to do about guns and drugs and bullies and strangers. And it's got games and puzzles, too. Write it down now.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about a few things. I've worded it as grow your business by bringing your customers along on your own improvement journey. And it's a long title. It's not what I normally would call one. It's usually like growing through acquisitions or whatever. And another subtitle for this was, how do you find the sizzle? How do you find the passion? When on the surface your business looks like it could be, you know, the same thing, boring, not exciting. Bleh. All right, so I found a guest who's done something that on the surface you look at it and it goes, they do embroidered emblems, they deal with uniforms, they help people like the UPS driver that tears his uniform. You know, how can he get that thing so he can drive the truck? Because they're not going to allow him to drive the truck if he's got a torn uniform. Okay, Randy Carr from World Emblem International has figured out how to do that. They're at $45 million. They're the leader in that industry. I want to know how you did this. Okay, go back. You're going to college in Hartford and dad calls. What did you really feel like?
It was weird. I mean, I've always grown up, we grew up pretty well off in New Jersey, so I just expected to fall into the family business, and it would always be there. I never really expected to get a call like that, but...
You didn't think it was going to be in trouble?
I had no idea. I mean, you know, I think there were some rumblings of it, probably for a year leading up to when he had some issues,
mm-hmm.
But he was always running the business on his own. I mean, he ran the business, he sold, he did pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he really built a very strong management team. And I noticed that as
him.
A kid.
That had to be hard for him to call his kids in.
It was really tough. I mean, I remember there were times where he was very, like, visibly upset.
I bet.
And I think it's difficult, you know, when you watch your father and you figure, like, this pillar of strength to see,
yep.
to see, like, things get at him at that level,
mm-hmm.
it's not easy to watch.
Now, I know it's a while ago. This is like, what, 18, 19 years ago?
It had to be, I think it was 1991,
okay.
1990.
All right. So, yeah, it's about 19 years ago. And so everybody to relate with this, you're a young man at the time. When you walked in and
18.
You kind of checked it out, could you tell that it was in trouble, or did you think it's okay and I can just work here? What was your impression?
Well, I mean, my parents had gotten divorced, and they had to sell their house in New Jersey. I mean, they were selling the business. I mean, I actually had to liquidate everything with my dad in, like, a three-day liquidation.
Oh, wow.
Type of event. So, I mean, for sure I knew that things were bad, but I really didn't realize it until I got a phone call when he had already moved to Florida, and I was still in Connecticut, and I was about to start my second year in school, and he said, you got to get down to Florida now because there's nobody left in this company, and... you and your brother are going to have no company if you don't get down here immediately. And
how'd you know what to do?
I had no idea. I mean, I grew up pretty well off, so I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't take work seriously. I didn't take school seriously. You know, I was just like an average student.
But how long did it take you to figure out what to do?
I mean, you know, they threw me in a chair and said, "All right, now be a customer service person."
Okay.
And, you know, the next week it was go run machines. The next week it was now you got to ship orders and deliver orders. And I think you just kind of, you know, you just kind of put yourself in your customer's shoes and say, you know, if I was calling up, how would you want to be treated? And most of it was, you know, my dad was a good salesperson, and that came pretty naturally to him. So I'd watch him on the phones, and most of what he did was try to develop a rapport with the people he was on the other line with.
Now, did everybody hear what he just said? Because it's back to that number one point. When they were in trouble, they put him on the phone with the customers. You see it? So even if there's no sizzle and you're not in trouble like what was going on there, the start point was to really get into the mindset of the customers. How long did it take you for you to realize they were kind of traditional, set in their ways, kind of behind in technology, and they would be in trouble, not just you? How long did
that was like 5 years later. I mean, in the very beginning,
years.
What you're talking about is we had no customers. I mean, we had one customer left, and we got one order one day, and then my father would get on the phone with somebody he knew for the last 30 years and get another order the next day.
And so you just in a way, you started again.
Yeah, and then it just kind of gained a little bit of momentum. Then we had two customers, and most of who he was leaning on were his friends in an industry that was, you know, it was like a network industry. It's a small, tight industry,
oh, yeah.
The commercial laundry
Textiles.
Industry. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, he kind of leaned on his friends to allow us to sell to them.
Right.
And they were really doing us favors until they really needed something, and they called us and they said, look, we need something now. And
when you
notice, we're going to go to...
When you notice the technology piece, that they were
like
kind of antiquated...
94.
Say again?
1994, about. I mean, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, and when you noticed it, how did you start talking to them about it?
Well, the first thing I realized was, it was more of an internal thing. I mean, systems and I really don't know how my father ran, I think it was a $10 million business, and I don't know how he ran it without the use of some technology. And I just knew that we needed to make some changes to the way the business was running. So more of it was internal, and then it became more of client-facing systems when about the time when Netscape and the internet came around, which was like 94 and 95. And then you realize that you could do things faster. Like an example would be a customer would put a piece of artwork in an envelope and mail it to us from Indianapolis to Florida,
right.
And it would take a week for the image to get to us.
Amazing, isn't it?
So we came up with this idea and hit one of those hand scanners, and we gave it to a couple customers, and they scanned their business card and emailed it to us.
So you did the same thing at my client.
Pardon me?
Up in New England. You gave them a piece of equipment to help expedite what they needed and you needed.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we ended up doing it, you know, probably, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 times over.
Right.
And that was probably the early 1994, 95, 96, where, and it was a little piece of software, but I mean, it worked, and it cut out 5-6 days of their sales process.
See, and one of the things I can hear in how you talk is you're almost seamless in your sentences between how something would help you gain customers and make money and be okay, and how it would improve the customers at the same time. You almost like start one sentence with, you know, about you, and then finish it with them. Do you know that about yourself?
I never even put any thought into it.
Yeah, well, this has gotten so integrated into your thinking as a primary strategy. That's how you sound now. It's intriguing.
Well, mostly everything we do is customer facing.
Yeah.
It's about, I mean, everything we do is if we can help our clients help themselves.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they're going to come back and do business with us.
See, now, the scale of where you've come since then is intriguing to me because, in a way, think about it. This is an alternative for some of your customers to. Oh, say Cisco, say Sun, or say IBM, or Microsoft, or whoever, you know, pick another one, PeopleSoft. Come in and say, we have this new platform, this new technology, this new CRM system. Here's how many hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars it's going to cost. And it scares the heck out of some of the conservative existing businesses. They get, you know, risk reversed. They know that they need it, but they don't know how to do it. And they just freeze. In some ways, the journey that you've been on, it gives the conservative, existing, long-standing customers or companies, okay, an option that if they look for a product, a mission-critical product, where they have a lot of costs on the line and a lot of time and efficiency on the line, if they had a vendor who could see that and help them fix the technology as they improved, they save money, and it's a win-win. And that's really what this strategy is about when you think about it. They don't have to go to the technology companies, they got that through their vendor, which is you.
Right. No, for sure. And that's, I mean, we've done that a couple times. I mean, that's only one example, but we've done it. We've had a couple situations where that exact scenario has played out.
That is amazing. So, you know, what's like a big account? Is it measured in like 5 million, 10 million, or is it 2,000? I mean, you know, what?
I mean, probably our bigger customers are, we have one client that does 10 million, another one that does 8, a few more that do between 3, 4, and 5 million.
So it pays, you know, for those big accounts for you to do that scale of transformation for them.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, we have one client who we actually built a manufacturing center inside their distribution center where, you know, before they were buying emblems and inventorying them on the shelf, and all their costs were variable. They had no idea what it was costing them to manufacture the products that we sell them, which they were doing themselves.
How does that work? Do they pay you a separate fee to do the technology piece, or do you do a pricing of your product that's higher? How do you structure this?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, we really built the whole thing into the cost of the business. So no, we don't price our products higher. It actually costs us less to do it. I mean, it's a pretty neat scenario. In this case, we took them completely out of it, and they were making their own emblems. So we took them out of the emblem business altogether.
Right.
We put all of our systems and our infrastructure inside their distribution center, and then we have a super plant inside in Mexico. So. We split the work, and the orders that can take more than 2 days go to our plant in Mexico, and the orders that need to be done within 2 hours or an hour go to our plant in inside their DCs, which is actually two plants. It's two
That's
different
exciting.
Locations.
But the two things I would imagine that guests are going to want to know, how did you learn how to do this, and how do you figure out the costs associated? Because this is expensive. This is a risky strategy. How did you figure that out?
I mean, the costs are one thing. I mean, you know, it wasn't that difficult. I mean, we already built two plants, and we just took the equipment we would need and depreciated, obviously, and then knew about how many pieces we would be producing there, and divided the numbers together. And I mean, it was pretty basic. I mean,
yeah, but you'd have to know how many customers are guaranteeing a specific amount of work for it to be worth it to you. No?
Oh, of course. I mean, the clients gave us projections and they gave us contracts. So it wasn't as if it was a complete gamble. I mean, you know, we were fixing one of the client's bigger problems. I mean, they were, you know, the emblem side of their business was, as I alluded to earlier, it was a variable cost. They had no they didn't have the knowledge or the understanding of how to make the products that we're making for them.
Right.
And it's really not their business, to be fair. So
what did you do? Like quantify the downtime of, you know, the uniforms that can't be in use, or the fact that it used to take 4 days to get them and now it's four hours.
Believe it or not, it was even easier than that. It was more of just explaining to them that here's what we think it's costing you to make your products, and here's what we can do it for. Here's how long it's taking you to get your products, and here's how fast we can do it for you. And here's the technology you're using currently, and here's the technology we can implement for you. And most of it was just speaking in terms of how things are going to benefit them.
Yeah.
And less about the money. It was more about the enhanced service of the product, the enhanced service that they're going to gain, and not so much the commodity side of what we're selling them. Because
irony is that there was opportunity lost if they didn't do what you're talking about.
Without question.
Yeah,
I mean, already.
Customers,
I mean,
would have lost if they didn't do it with you?
Well, I think when we ran all the numbers, I mean, look, you have to be willing to take chances. Again, I mean, you have to understand that when we were doing this thing, when we started it,
right.
We didn't have a lot to lose. So
true. That helped you in a way. In a way, I mean, really, you know what I mean? And sometimes that helps people.
There's no question about it. And, you know, I would say I'm more conservative now than I was 10 years ago, and I could see myself being more conservative.
Yeah.
I was willing to take more chances when we did all these things.
Yeah.
And the fact is, you know, most of them paid off. I've probably done more right than wrong. You know, granted, we've probably done plenty of things that didn't work out that well. But, I mean, the one example I'm giving you, you know, it just so happened that it did for the client and for us.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's some stuff that happened wrong. Like I was saying, on your journey to learn, you're going to have things that you have to fiddle with to get them right. But you know, when you're actually looking for the sizzle, if you're actually looking for what could make a difference for customers, taking a chance and bringing them along, that's got some energy. And you didn't even have to quantify all the value when you think about it. right now. I want the listeners to have that sink in. The fact that he felt like he didn't have so much to lose, let's go for it, actually helped him. The biggest barrier might be if you've done well. All right, now we got to take a break, and we'll be back. I want that to sink in. Are you resistant because you're afraid of something now that you wouldn't have been afraid of if you were, you know, in trouble? All right, this is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the U.S. Open twice, 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 150. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And today we're talking with Randy Carr of World Emblem International. Okay, this is the market leader, you know, the largest supplier for industrial uniform industry. That's pretty cool. $45 million, 7 locations worldwide, 9 years of positive growth and cash flow despite the recession, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, ISO 9000 and 2000 registered, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All that good stuff. And one of the, I'm going to oversimplify how they're doing it and how they've been doing it. I think they've been taking their customers along with them for their ride. They've been improving their own technologies, improving their methods and how they do it, and they make sure that their customers benefit from those improvements. Okay, now, give us an example, and be specific about, you know, is there a methodology or a system that you had to put in place for a big account that you can talk about?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's one client in Minneapolis that, like I alluded to earlier, where they had they had a sublimate, what's called sublimating on emblems, where they were making their own emblems, and they had computers that were, you know, 1994-93 running Windows 3.1 computers, and this was in the year 2000. Okay. With no backups, all independent, scattered around the United States. Yeah, it was pretty.
It was pretty scary when
we got involved with it. And then, at the time, we really didn't have the technology developed to do what we were proposing. So we went in there and said, "Look, we can take all of your computers throughout the whole country, which is over probably 120 computers. Mm-hmm. It was over. I think it was over 500 gigs of data. To give you some perspective, I think it was over about 350,000 different logos for clients.
Good Lord.
And they were scattered all around the United States. And we said, look, we'll go around personally. We'll get all those computers. We'll collect all those files. We'll post them on the internet, and we'll design a web catalog for you to go out there and be able to print those emblems on our print systems with our inks and using our emblems. And we'll store all the designs for you, and we'll do all that free of charge. Whoa. And this was the same client with the distribution centers, and they jumped at the chance. And that was...
Now, there's no way to... Whoa, 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 because they would be scared. I mean, even if it was free, you know, people back then saying put it on the internet, et cetera, et cetera. The fear of loss of control of their own data was just stunning at that point.
No question. I mean,
how did you win that trust?
It took 6 months of explaining what we were going to do and the type of infrastructure we had. And again, I mean, we were young and aggressive, and I mean, we still are. But you know, at the time I was 27, 28, and we had a young IT manager and a young staff, and we had a good infrastructure and a good.
And how could you afford to do that free?
It took an investment to make the money back. I mean, you know, we make emblems, and if we get those designs on file, the likelihood is they're going to buy the emblems from us. And
but you didn't have any guarantee.
Turning out that we got a 6-year contract, and ended up being a $10 million a year client. So,
but you didn't have a guarantee that would happen.
No whatsoever. We just knew what was going to come of it if we did it right.
Wow.
And
so they could have gotten ticked off and said, these are our emblems. Thank you very much for the technology advancement. We're going to go elsewhere to get them
actually. Well, we actually wrote, there was a strong agreement that basically said, yeah, these are our designs, and if you don't do a good job, give us a backup and give us a tape backup every month and that kind of thing. And, you know, I guess after a year, it wasn't even necessary anymore, and it's been 9 years since that since we did this.
I do have to make the observation for listeners that in a lot of industries, if you didn't have a legal protection or some guarantee for the initial order to get back the R&D that you did, you know, it would still be a very low price for the customer, very, very low risk for the customer. But to take on this kind of stuff without any kind of promise of business is, in some industries, just too hard to do.
A lot of it was just reducing their barrier or reducing the reasons of saying no.
Right.
I mean, if I were to say it's $100,000, you know, that's very easy for them to say, yeah, we're not going to spend that kind of money. And,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we took the initial chance, and, you know, fortunately it paid off.
Well, now, you had a lot of money tied up in embroidery machines and such. I mean, how many millions of dollars of equipment do you have now?
10+ million, probably.
Yeah. I mean, there's a barrier to entry into your business just because of the machines. So
yeah, I mean, it's not easy to build an
MLM. How did you develop all the IT capability on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not easy to do an MLM company, and, I mean, the IT side of the business, we invested heavily. I think it's over 5% of our annual revenue goes into our IT department. So we're always pumping money, even now, into not even the client facing technologies that the customer sees on the front end of the e-commerce platform, but even the backside stuff to ensure that clients get their orders complete and then the invoice and the packing system match, or we can post their cash quick and easy so they get a clean statement. And I mean, all this stuff matters. It's not just...
Oh, you're not kidding. Everything you're saying, you can hear the minutes that get cut off of the delivery time and the, you know, the opportunity loss versus, getting it.
It's on every level. I mean, you know, we'll tell clients, hey, if you can get us a flat file, we'll give you 2% off.
Yep.
Instead of having someone in my place keying your orders and keying 2 or 3% wrong a day, give me a flat file export from your ERP software, we'll import it, and we'll give you 2% discount if you do that. And it ends up saving me 3%. So,
one of the roles I have, Randy, is that IBM's brought me in to be the lead instructor for their presidents and owners program. And they have 2,500 of these business partners out there. So you can picture them. You know, they're kind of quasi, like part professional service because they give advice, and part distributor because they represent IBM, and then part technology people because they have to design systems and such. So you can picture these guys. They're mid-sized companies. And I've heard several of them, when they talk like what you're saying, they have to quantify just more than you do. And it's just intriguing to me to hear. You know, they have to say, all right, here's the exact dollar amount we're investing in this. They make it like strategic alliances. And there's contracts and lawyers most of the time where they're saying, here's the amount of money we're ponying up. Here's the amount that you'll be gaining. Here's your role. Here's your requirements for what you need to do to help this happen. And they become almost like strategic alliance partners with their customers. That's the language I'm hearing around the world, at least in that sector.
Right.
Yeah, but you didn't do that.
Well, we didn't do it the first time. I probably should have done it the second time I tried to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, the first time it worked really well. We tried to do it again.
Yeah.
We ended up taking it on the chin. So
it did go bad once.
For sure it went bad once. I mean, we did the same exact scenario with another fairly large company, and the problem was that we were making all the concessions, and the company didn't, anything free has no value. So,
right.
You know, the obvious danger is that, you know, if we're doing all this work for free,
right,
then it must have no value to on the client side. So why should they why should they get involved? And they have no skin in the game.
It's that whole welfare mentality of if it's free, it must not be worth anything. And so if people think that you need to pay for the counseling or something to value what you've been given, you know?
It makes good sense. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously we learned from the second and the first and yeah. kind of have a combined setup now where
yeah.
where we rent certain things so that what we try to avoid is our clients from having to put CapEx requests in.
A lot
of them are large companies and
right.
So I mean again you know we've gone away from doing things at no charge. We really don't have to right now.
Yeah.
I mean that was a
but
huge
you still
risk.
Sound like you know the best way you measure it is you know the reduced cost for your customers anyway. You're still sounding the same way.
There's no question about it. I mean, it's always what it comes down to is how it benefits the client, either on a service,
right.
A price, or satisfaction to their end users and their end customers.
So, how many times have you had to upgrade your platform in all of your software? A couple of times.
Believe it or not, I mean, I can only remember really once or twice. And there's different things. I mean, you know, you talk about the internal ERP software. We've only done once since 1993.
But you've had two full rewrites of your e-commerce platform. Which
absolutely, we had two full rewrites. We had the first pass at it that was a disaster.
Yeah.
The second one was excellent,
mm-hmm.
and the third one we just rolled out about 12 months ago, and that's. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's really exciting. Now,
yeah, I mean,
people listen
me.
To this. Okay, when people listen to this, they can hear, you get it, you're excited, you know you've done something unique. I want to go back and again ask, when did you start getting excited about it? Because somewhere between coming in from your father saying you're in trouble and putting something together and holding your breath, you must have seen some traction and gotten excited. When did that happen?
I took a trip to Georgia, and I saw some of the technology that they were using to make our products, and I fell in love, and that was it. And I could remember the day where I was in the business for 2 years, and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Every day was another, you know, upset client or upset supplier that we couldn't pay.
Uh-huh.
And then finally, we bought a piece of software that, at the time, it was $5,000, and I thought that was a ridiculous, absolute fortune. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
But and I went to go be trained on how to do it, and what it was digitizing software that allows you to
right.
basically tell the embroidery machine how to stitch.
Mm.
And I went up to Georgia to be trained, and I looked at some of the technology they had and some of the things that they were doing, and I was like, wow, if I could implement 1/10 of this in my company, we would be we would be off and running. And
there you go again. Now there's the pause. All right, the people who are listening. You've had some of the zest for your business get kicked out of you over this last year. Some of you were really good businesses, and your banks are punishing you when you've been paying bills. You don't have the line of credit you used to have, and the venture capitalists are rude, and you've had to lay off people for the first time in your life, and the people who have done this to you are getting international and national-level government bailouts, and you're just supposed to hang there, you know, keep on going and just take it. There's some real good reasons to be irritable, kind of frustrated with your business, worried, risk-averse, blah, 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 blah. Okay, what Randy just said is real important. When you're facing something like that, what did he do? He was out looking for, you know, learning about technology. In his case, he saw something that went, ha, got it. There are field trips that are needed now. There's books to be read. There's radio shows to be listened to. Whatever it is it's going to take for you to find the thing that gives you the energy and the passion to drive the business, because if it stays flat, if it stays just doing the same thing and listen to customers complain, and they're complaining to everybody now, it isn't going to go anywhere. Okay, now we're going to take our last break. This is The Growth Strategist with Randy Carr of World Emblem International. We'll be right back.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
Hi, I can't come to the phone right now because I'm abusing my children, not just verbally, but physically. I'll get back to you.
If only child abuse was this easy to recognize. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help at 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. All calls are anonymous and confidential, so call 1-800-4-A-CHILD or visit childhelp.org. Child Help. Trust your instincts. Brought to you by Child Help and the Ad Council.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking with Randy Carr, who's the CEO of World Emblem International. Okay, so you're not in the uniform industry, you're not in textiles, so you might not think you can relate to him. If you had a little bit of the spark of, you know, behind you, the passion, the purpose-driven kind of energy that you need as a leader, kicked out of you over the last year, you need to re-listen to this show. See if you can identify with Randy's journey, and see if there's something you need to do now to go exploring, or as my nieces and nephews used to call it, go exploring. Exploring sounds like it has a map. Exploring is out there looking for it. You know, it's like you're a sponge. You'll know it when you see it. You know it when you've run into it. And a lot of execs right now need to look for what's going to make them mad, what's going to get them excited, what's going to look like it changes the energy of their business. Because if they stay just annoyed or bitter or angry at what's going on with the government, et cetera, they're not going to drive their business. And there's a whole bunch of very talented people that would love to work with you as long as you're going somewhere. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to know exactly where you're going. As long as you're giving it a real energetic try, they want to help. And this is a great time to pick up top talent. So, okay, my guest. Randy, do you know where you're going now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, tell me a little bit about what you do now.
Well, I think, we've done a couple different things. The first thing is we've tried to diversify our business. So we have the commercial laundry side of our business, and then we opened up two other sales departments. One is handling the advertising specialty industry,
mm-hmm.
Which is MLs for events and that sort of stuff.
That makes sense.
And the other one is more tailored towards specific business groups. Like, we have a karate portfolio, we have school portfolios, and we do specific catalogs for specific industries.
Yep.
to try to, again, stay with the niche business that we've been in for the last 19 years.
And you're at that point. I mean, it's not accidental. You and I have been sitting there talking about, okay, how would you look at the strengths of the business and figure out how do you leverage where you're going and, you know, and how do you estimate and project what's the optimum size of your business in the next wave. And it's fun work. So you're at that point. You're revisiting, okay, now what, right?
Yeah, it's hard, and it's fun at the same time. It's rewarding. I mean, there's a lot of, mm-hmm. and it's frustrating, too. There's a lot of good things that come of it, and but it takes time. And
now, this may sound funny, and I don't want to have it, I don't know, be too personal. If I'm going too far, tell me. A lot of execs at this point in the development of the business, they have like a pause of, wait a minute, you know, I knew how to do the last thing. I wonder if my executive team's right. I wonder if I'm up for this. I wonder if we have enough money. And they start to worry. Have you started to worry at all?
Without question. I mean, I'm always, I've always been worried about everything. I'm traditionally a paranoid person.
You really?
You know, okay. I always think our customers are going to leave us, and I think that's partly of why we've been successful. We're always, we're always looking for. I mean, not from a negative perspective, but we're really always looking for the next opportunity to fix a problem,
or
the next opportunity
to. You're not cocky, and you don't play it safe. Yeah, I got you. I hear you.
But yeah, there's not a lot of arrogance here. I mean,
no.
we're very blunt about how the business is doing and the things that are going on. When things are good, we tell people and reward them. When things are bad, you know, like things are tough now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, everybody knows they're tough. It doesn't. It's not, there's no secret when you know when we're not giving out bonuses or whatever.
Yeah.
Or we're not doing renovations to the office. It's no secret why we're not doing it.
Yeah. But you know, one of the things that's interesting is you can telegraph to the public, like go to an Inc. 500 conference and just start snooping again. Say, you know, here we're at this point and we're looking for, you know, what we might diversify and who we might work with and attract business proposals, because you're not going to take them all. But
right.
The amount that you'd learn from somebody thinking, okay, here's how they could drive a $10 million division for you. Just the exercise of hearing what they were proposing to you and see if it fits your company and all that, it's kind of cool. And they get you centered and help your execs analyze options. That would be kind of fun for you rather than just, I wonder what's next. Just as a throwaway piece of advice that I want the listeners to hear, when you hit this point where you've been passionate, you've made a good run, it's made a big difference, now you got lots of capabilities, at least let in that feeling of, ooh, now what? Because if you fight it and lie about it, you're going to make a mistake.
You're right. I'm at the now what stage. I mean, there's no question. I mean, I've been there for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I joined YPO, which is a...
Good.
Which is an organization here to kind of help me get through that that phase.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I read a book. I don't remember which one it was. And, he talks about scaffolding.
Yep.
And I think that's probably what I need. I mean, I don't have a board of directors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mainly me and my brother. And, he's not around a lot because he runs our sales department. So I find myself, I really find myself talking to the walls.
Yep. No, there's a lot of guys that join Vistage groups. You know, it's like an advisory committee for each other. Some do YPO. Some do EO, Entrepreneurs Organization. I think they drop the Y on that because they just want to make sure that, if it's people who are truly entrepreneurial and that kind of stuff. So there's a number of groups out there. But having peer input matters.
At least just having someone to talk to about what's going on in the business and all the things that are that are going wrong or right every day.
Yep.
And God knows there's enough of them.
Yep. Now, see, some of the listeners who are hearing you would like to talk with you about your journey, tell you what they're doing, kind of sit down with you mano-a-mano and say, maybe we could leverage one another's strengths and work together, blah, blah. Where would they contact you, Randy?
My email address is rcarr@world. E-M as in Mary, BLEM.com, and my phone number is 305-908-4450.
That's excellent. And those of you who want to suggest guests or ask me a question related to what Randy was talking about, offer yourself as a potential future guest. If you know my name, it's easy to reach me. It's Aldonna@Ambler.com, Aldonna@Ambler.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-Aldonna. I own multiple companies and just have too many telephone numbers, so if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. And we're both, Randy and I, are welcoming some feedback from this. We want to hear, what did you hear? What did you like? What resonated with you? What do you feel like you're exactly in the same position? And, it may be another person that be on a mastermind group with them. Who knows? But this is one of the things I would suggest as kind of almost a wrap-up remark here, is the journey of running a business. Sometimes it's good news when you know you don't know. That's what happened to Randy when he walked into this. He walked in to help his father. He's over his head. It must have felt like that, no matter how bright you were. If you're dealing with a lot of problems, customers complaining, blah, 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 that admitting and knowing you don't know actually leaves you open to see the new ideas, to go to the training sessions and have something develop, and then have enough energy to act on it. The people who get in trouble are the ones that hit a point where they start feeling like they know enough, and they have so much to protect, and they're too afraid to lose what they have. And they don't want to be embarrassed about what they didn't know. And they're a fear of failure because then everybody thinks they're fabulous and they've won so many awards, so God forbid they made a mistake. That's actually the biggest barrier to growth and stifles energy. The exploration for a new answer and showing you don't know and you do need people brings you energy. Ask yourself if you're admitting you don't know, you're still secure, and you're open to learning. Or are you just trying to prove you used to know it? Randy, I definitely thank you for being on the program. You're a great guest. We're going to give you an MP3 for this. You show it to your prospects because I think it's going to help you get some business.
Thank you very much. It has been my pleasure to be on the show.
And we will talk again soon. And my wish for you, as it is every week, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And remember that the secret is to reverse the phrase. First know what drives your profitability, and then know how to sustain it. Once you know how to do that, then you can look at the growth strategies. Pick a couple of them and step on the gas. This is The Growth Strategist with Eldon Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.